Take your Bibles. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to end up, God willing, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. But I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to read a little bit. Won't hurt us. And I want you to be looking for something. You know what to be looking for. I just got curious today and took off reading the book of 2 Thessalonians, and sure enough, you'll see what I mean. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, that means necessary, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Isn't that wonderful? Here's a church he writes to in the first letter. By the time he writes the second letter, these people are growing, and he's excited about that. Growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I'm just trying to read, but boy, it's hard just to read. And the charity of every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Anybody see anything right there? What's that talking about right there? The coming of the Lord. This is the second advent of the coming of the Lord. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, how many knows what the first advent is? That's when he comes for the church. Jesus comes in the air and we leave the earth. In the second advent, he comes to the earth. And we come with him. Hallelujah. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all I wanted you to see was, right there in chapter number 1, Jesus is coming. Chapter number 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that something? In chapter number 2, Jesus is coming. By our gathering together unto him. Let's go over to chapter number 3. We spent a lot of time in chapter 2. That's how all this got started, really. Chapter number 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as is with you, that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God. Somebody read the rest of that. Glory to God. Remember what I told you Sunday? I didn't know that Jesus was coming in all 5 chapters in 1 Thessalonians. And until this afternoon, I didn't know he's coming in all 3 chapters in 2 Thessalonians too. Seems like to me that Paul wanted this early church to understand and know that Jesus is coming. I don't know, Brother Larry, but I got this idea that they were excited about that doctrine in those days. And I also have an idea that we need to be more excited about it in our day. We need to live in the light of the coming of the Lord. We'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And pray, and then we'll back up and plow, the Lord willing, in this chapter. That thrilled me. I mean, this church, Paul wanted them to know you're in a time of trouble, a time of persecution, but Jesus is coming. He goes over and he writes to Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're there. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we're there. We're there. We're there. The Bible said, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Boy, where's that word power, Brother John, that God spoke to my heart about? Denying the power. You see, if you deny the power of God, well then, it's all right just to shake a preacher's hand, join the church, and tell an individual that you're okay now. Say amen. Sign a card, get dipped in a hole, or get some water sprinkled on your forehead. You're all right now. That's denying the power of God. Nobody's ever been converted without the power of God. Nobody's ever been born again saved without the power of God. Nobody's ever even fell under Holy Ghost conviction without the power of God. Amen. And beloved, this generation's denying the power of God. Watch this now. Let's just read this chapter. It's beautiful. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, excuse me. Boy, there's a frog jumped out. Paul and Silvanus, I'm going to get a drink of water. We'll start over again on that. Try to drown the frog. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. And you know, Brother Ralph, this is one of the things we're trying to do in celebrating 50 years, is to remember the work of faith, remember the labor of love, and remember the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I just saw something flying around, and I'm pretty sure now that wasn't a frog. I'm pretty sure it was a gnat. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. In other words, if you have the gospel in word only, how many's with me right there? Paul said our gospel didn't just come in word only. You can go over in Corinthians. We may read a little bit after a while. But the Bible said, in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I believe personally that's why the world calls it the foolishness of preaching. Amen. The world don't understand it. The Bible said here, I can remember being in a prison one time, and one of them Muslim chaplains, he got me off to the side. Brother Napper was standing beside of me. And Brother Napper just about had to tie me down. See, I was always that close from getting that man in a heap of trouble. All I had to do was open my mouth and say what was on my heart, and we'd have been kicked out of the prison. That Muslim chaplain said to me, he said, I don't know why you want to preach like that. He said, I don't know why you want to holler like that. I just stood there. You say, preacher, why would you just stand there and take that? I'll tell you why, Brother David, there's men lost. We've been working there for years, and I didn't want to see it all go down the tube over one nail that did not know God. I told Brother Napper when we got done, I said, Brother Napper, what I wanted to say to him so badly was this: sir, it's not my hollering that's bothering you, it's that Jesus I'm hollering about. I can whisper his name and it would bother you. Power. We need the power of God to go along with the gospel of God in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. You know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. What a statement. in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Here's the statement in chapter 1. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray to start in on this chapter. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here with our people. God, tonight we understand and know tonight, Lord, that Jesus is coming. Lord, there's things in this chapter where we could find ourselves occupying till you come. I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, you would bless in a mighty way the Word of God as it goes forth. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd help us, Lord, to be thrilled about the opportunity that we have to live in this generation, the opportunity that we have to serve in this generation, the opportunity that we have to be a light and to be salt in this world that we live in. God, I thank you for the church at Thessalonica. God, I'm encouraged by their example. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd help us to glean some things tonight from their lives and be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. When's the last time you've been in a doctor's office? When's the last time you've been somewhere where you had to wait for a while? Let me ask you, what did you do? I had to wait yesterday for a little while. And I left my cell phone at home. I didn't do it on purpose. I don't go anywhere without it on purpose. But normally if I'm waiting somewhere, I'm going to be looking at something or texting somebody or calling somebody on the cell phone. Yesterday I didn't have it. And so I sat there, and in just a minute they called me, and I went back there, and there were some magazines. And I just went through the magazines, and Brother John, not one of them had a deer on the front of it. Not one of them had a turkey on the front of it. I'm telling you, it was a bunch of boring stuff. It was talking about money and the stock market and all that stuff that I don't know anything about, amen. But anyway, I saw an article about impeaching Trump. I thought, well, I'll just read on that a while. You say, preacher, what a way to start a message off. Let me tell you something right now. Everybody's going to do something while they wait. You say, well, preacher, I don't do nothing. You're doing something, you're doing nothing while you wait. My daddy said the only bad thing about doing nothing is you can't quit and rest. Amen? And so tonight I'd like to call the message or the lesson this, while we wait. The Word of God said here for us to wait on His coming. The Bible said right here in verse number 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven while we wait. I think it'd be a good time. I didn't plan on saying this, but I like ribbing Brother John every chance that I can. Brother John Dockery, we were working around the church. It's been a couple years ago, maybe three. He said, preacher, do you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus? I said, I sure do, Brother John. What that means is He could come anytime, right now He could come. I said, I sure do, Brother John. He said, then what are we doing all this work for? It was a time, evidently, Brother John, I think Brother James must have just been here in revival, or maybe he was on his way, he was coming. And I was talking to Brother James Jones on the phone, and I told him what Brother John said. And he said, you tell Brother John, Jesus said to occupy till I come. I'm just aggravating, Brother John. I thought it was a pretty good question, to tell you the truth, when it's running down your back and, you know, what are we doing all this work for? If we're going to leave it to the Antichrist anyway. How many believes we ought to take care of the vineyard while we're here? That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. While we wait, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What is in this chapter that could help us to occupy till He comes? I just remembered the announcement I was supposed to get straight. The first word that God gave me was people. 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 Sister Carol, the lady that you requested prayer for that sits with you, I'd like for you to tell her, if you haven't already, about that series of messages, When My Heart Is Overwhelmed. You can go online and look them up, and then maybe you could give her the dates, would make it easier to find, but they're there. I believe it might be a help. It might be a blessing. You say, preacher, why'd you say that? Because when I think about people, I think about needs. I think about people that are hurting. A preacher said one time, a pastor that will preach to the hurting will never lack a congregation. I believe that because people are hurting everywhere you go. Well, you say, preacher, where did you see that in the chapter? First few words, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Listen, the church is not brick and mortar and carpet and pews. It definitely wasn't in that day anyway. The church is God's people. And while we wait, let me tell you, when you and I are the most miserable, when all we're thinking about is ourselves. When you and I get others on our heart, get others on our mind, and we want to reach out and help this one, and reach out and help that one, find somebody, something to do to help somebody else. That's what Paul was in, the people business. Let me just say this. I think the people business and the preaching business go hand in hand. The preaching is for the people. And God has a heart. You read the Bible, He has a heart for people. God wants to help the pastor. God wants to help the people. And the Bible tells us right here, He starts off in chapter number 1. In other words, you say, preacher, why are you excited? I'm glad. Listen, thank God, I'm not waiting alone. I'm waiting on Jesus, and He's coming. But I'm not by myself waiting on Him. There are others in the waiting room with me. We're waiting on Jesus, and He's coming. So while we wait, let's think about people. Think about others. Tonight, I want you to think about this. Go on down with me here. And the Bible said, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. On down, He mentions the Holy Ghost. I want you to just think about, while we wait, the person. Let me just say something tonight. Please, I'm not trying to be rude, but what in the world would make anybody believe that they're going to enjoy Jesus in heaven if they don't enjoy Jesus here? What in the world would make someone think they're going to enjoy the Father, enjoy the Spirit of God, if they don't enjoy the Spirit of God and enjoy the Father down here? While we wait, we ought to be looking at the people, helping people, living. Paul wrote their names down. Silvanus and Timotheus. Paul wanted everybody to know that read this letter, I'm not here by myself. There's somebody here with me. We're over here. Where was it he was? I just read it again today. Athens. We're over here in Athens, and we're writing to the church over there in Thessalonica. But listen, it's not just me, youngins. There's somebody here with me waiting on the Lord to come. Amen. That blesses me. And then think about the person. The person. That's why we call the salvation that the Bible teaches about, He's a personal Lord, a personal Savior. You ever heard somebody say something like this? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? It is personal, isn't it? A husband and a wife might get saved, even brother, at the same time. They didn't that day. He was saved just a little before her. If I remember correctly, he was down at the store. He went home, then she got saved. It wouldn't have mattered, Brother Larry, if they was both at the coffee table trusting Jesus and asking God to save them at the same time. It would have been personal for her, personal for him. It's personal. It's personal. Somebody said, how do people get saved? I said, one at a time. It's personal. There may be a group of people come forward. God may save 3,000 like He did on the day of Pentecost. But I guarantee you, everyone that got saved, it was personal. Peter preached. The power of God fell. Conviction came in hearts and lives. And they said that Jesus we just crucified is the Lord. We need Him. We need His forgiveness. So while we wait, just a few things here. The people, and then the person. But look in this same verse, right here in verse number 1. While we wait, glory to God, I got excited when I saw this. The Bible said, grace be unto you and peace. I want to ask a question tonight. How many of you are glad that you have the peace of God tonight in your heart while you wait? In other words, while I'm waiting tonight, I know that if He comes, good. If He don't come, still going to be good. He said, preacher, why can you say something like that? Well, Joseph was, where was he to start with? He was there at home, there with his brethren. His brethren got mad at him because of the dreams. His brethren put him in a pit. But I'm going to tell you something about the pit. The Lord was with Joseph in the pit too. The Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph in the prison. And the Lord was with Joseph in the palace. There's a lot of things changed in Joseph's life. But one thing never changed. God was always with him. There'll be a lot of things change in my life. A lot of things change in your life. And I tell you what, if you're a born-again believer, there'll be one thing that'll never change. The Lord will be with you. And that ought to bring a peace, glory to God. He didn't say, I'm going with you half the way. He said, I'm going with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. That blesses me. I heard somebody say one time, well, if I believed that, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd just bust the world wide open. That's a complete misinterpretation of what grace and peace is all about. If you know Him as your personal Savior, hey, we got our belly full of that in the world. Why did I turn to Jesus? I'll tell you why. I'm sick of my sin. Sick of it. I believe with all my heart, peace, while we wait. I want to just thank God for the peace that we have in our heart. Look at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our, what's that next word? Our prayers. While we wait, you know what I believe we ought to do? I believe we ought to pray. I believe we ought to pray for one another. I believe we ought to pray for His coming. I believe we ought to pray for sinners. Somebody help me. I believe we ought to pray for our president. I believe we ought to pray for our congressman. I'm going to tell you, our senators, I'm telling you what's the truth. I believe God wants His people to be a praying people. And while we wait, that ought to turn the heat up in prayer. We ought to want to be more fervent. The Bible said the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And some might say, well, you know, that righteous man, that's just the external. No, what that is, that means that man's been washed in the blood. That means that man's been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We all have access to the same throne of grace. God wants us to pray. The Bible down in verse number 4 takes you back to the people. I'm not going to say anything about that, but He said, knowing brethren, while we wait, isn't it good to be a part of the brethren, the people of God? Look in verse number 5 with me for just a moment. While we wait, here's a prayer request tonight. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. Let me just say this tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. You've heard statements like this. You're not supposed to follow a man. You're supposed to follow the Lord. You've heard statements like that. And I believe most of the time it's a well-meaning statement. And I believe sometimes, I guess what you could say is if you have to choose between following a man that ain't following the Lord or following the Lord, then you better follow the Lord. But the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, be you followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. What are you saying? I'm not just talking about the pastor now. Think about the father in the home. Should the father not be able to say to his children, follow me as I follow the Lord? Should a mother not be able to say to her children, follow me as I follow the Lord? But I tell you what, we ought to teach them along the way too. If I'm not following the Lord, don't follow me, follow the Lord. But if I'm in the book, then follow me. And Paul had left a mark in their hearts. The power of God had left a mark. His gospel didn't come just in word, but also in power. You remember over in, I think it's Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. My wife and I we've probably scooped up a couple of dump truck loads of mud out of the bottom of a pond there at the house. And we discovered some big rocks in the mud. But Brother John, it wasn't the rocks that we got out of the mountain over there. You could tell. They didn't even resemble those rocks that come out of the mountain over there. And so my wife, and I believe she's right, she came to the conclusion, honey, when you've been down in there scraping and digging with that track hoe and with that bucket trying to get that mud up out of there, she said, I believe you've dug some of that loose out of that hard rock that's in the bottom of that pond. And I believe she's exactly right. You say, preacher, why'd you say that? Well, glory to God, my heart was hard. The Word of God said, like an old hard rock. But there was something come along that had more power than that rock. And that was the gospel and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. It's that dynamite that when the Spirit of God lights the fuse in a man's heart, the Bible said, it's not thy word like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. That hard heart is broken. And that seed is able to find good ground and bring forth fruit unto life everlasting. That's why we need the power of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 for just a moment. I just wrote a few references down. I'll have to turn to them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look at a couple verses right here. Listen to what the Word of God said. Chapter 1, verse 18, I want to look at it in verse number 24. The Bible said in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In verse number 24, the Bible said, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. If I was writing the Bible, I would add one more little phrase to that. Not many that abide by the rules of the English language. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Let me just say something right there. I believe with all my heart, one of the greatest orators of this generation was Brother Adrian Rogers. I've watched him preach on television. I've watched him preach on the internet. I've listened to him preach on the radio going up and down there. How many knows who I'm talking about? He was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. A great, listen, if he was going to be jealous over the ability to speak, he would be the man I'd be jealous over. He can just say it in such a way. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to him preach. He will magnify the need of the Holy Spirit of the living God. In other words, just because he has
a way, Brother Larry, with words, and just because he has a way with illustrations, he understands. I just about guarantee if you'd ever listen to him pray, he'd be begging God for his power and begging God to speak to hearts, because all that a man can do is speak to the ears of another man. It takes God to speak to the heart. Brother Ralph, the choir can get up here and sing, hit every note just right, and all that the choir can do is be a blessing to our ears. But oh, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of that singing, He can bring it down into our heart. He can take the singing of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel. When He dumps that power in on it, honey, something's going to break loose. That's what we need in our generation. We need it to break out and break loose. I believe that we've lived so long looking at the wildfire, we're afraid of the real fire. There's a real fire that comes off of the altar of God that's not strange, even in our generation. I got saved under it. Pastor wasn't even preaching that night to the sinner. As far as I can remember, and I don't remember a lot about his message, but it was one of them Sunday night messages to the church. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe a man can preach on tithing and a sinner sitting right there and the Holy Ghost get a hold of it and he gets saved while he's listening to a message on tithing. The Holy Ghost gets a hold of it. I believe a man can preach on Mary had a little lamb. The Holy Ghost get a hold of it. You see, it's not about style. It's not about delivery. Jonathan Edwards wrote a sermon and rewrote it and read it and rewrote it and tore it up and rewrote it and wrote it again and got up and read it to the congregation and people trembled. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. A lot of people associate power with volume or power with this style or that style. Under the Holy Spirit. We done found that out over there studying about Elijah. He wasn't in the whirlwind. Amen. I tell you where he was at. He was in that still, small voice. How we need that power. How we need that power. I like that old song. Brother Ralph was talking about old songs. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Honey, Baptists knew what it was to be under the baptism of the Holy Spirit a long time before Pentecostal ever come along. We've let so much of this wildfire. People getting up and got two airports at their house. A jet coming in this way and a jet leaving out that way. And telling the rest of us low life that if we'd get right with God, we'd never want for anything. We could drive a Cadillac and wear a Rolex. I'm going to tell you something right now. I just believe with all my heart, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy and the church at Thessalonica would take exception to that. They were living under persecution. Glory to God, they knew what the power of God was. They knew their lives had been transformed, not by a preacher, but by the Lord that the preacher was talking about. Amen. Well, look here. My brethren, chapter 2, verse 1. Came not to you in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Boy, I just saw something right there, Brother John. You show me what God gave you Sunday. You know what we're doing when we're preaching? If we're preaching the Bible, we're giving people the testimony of God. How about that? It's not my word. It's His word. When I declare unto you the testimony of God, watch it, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. That means accept Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let me tell you something right now. Paul, I believe it's in the letter to the Philippians. Paul talks about the education that he had. He talks about the credentials that he had. And he said, now get ready to preach. He said, I just counted all the dung. Just put it in the toilet. Put it in the outhouse. Put it in the waste pile outside the city. He said, that I might win Christ. In other words, what I need standing up here is not my education. What I need standing up here is the power of God on my life. Paul knew that. Watch this. He said, for I was with you in weakness and in fear, much trembling. I can't prove this, but this is what this preacher believes. I believe Paul wasn't much to look at. That disease they called ophthalmia, your eyes bulged, he couldn't see. In one letter, I think, to the Galatians, he said, you see how large a letter I write unto you. I believe he wasn't much to look at all. When the man of God stood up, the power of God come down, things begin to happen for the glory of God. Wonder what John the Baptist was to look at when he come out of the wilderness. This leathern girdle eating locusts and wild honey. Bet he wasn't much to look at. But I bet he was something else to listen to. Bible said here, I was with you in weakness, fear, much trembling. Look at verse 4 and I'll try to move on. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Paul tells us in verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, the power of God. Let me tell you something right now. There's a whole lot of people down through the decades whose faith was in the wisdom of men. A lot of people, when a man messes up or a man falls, they had that man so elevated that they go right down with him. They just cannot seemingly stand. I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. Jesus is the only one that belongs on a pedestal. Yes, every man of God ought to follow the Lord, and his people ought to follow him as he follows the Lord. We should always know in our heart and in our mind that our faith's not standing in the wisdom of men. I ain't got any anyway. But in the power of God. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 quickly. He said, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do. The power of God's got to do with the coming of the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. Listen to me tonight. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is. I'll know when I get there. Yes. Now, he said in verse number 3 here, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 1 Peter 1, 3. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. How many believes you got an inheritance tonight? Honey, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're an heir of God and you're a joint heir with Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Watch this. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. You know how come I can lay down tonight and have peace? Now listen, I believe when a man sins, he ought to confess it when God brings it to his attention. But listen, I'm not kept by confessing anything. I'm kept by the power of God. I believe my confession to God is what keeps my fellowship right with God. I believe the only thing that keeps my relationship right with God is the power of God that started it all when He saved me. Say, preacher, what do you mean? How about this? The Word of God said, being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you. Landmark Baptist Church, February 22nd, 1987. I'm telling you, Whether anybody else ever knows it or not, I know He began a good work in me that night. Being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If my confidence tonight was in me, I couldn't go to sleep tonight. My confidence is in the mighty power of God. I'm kept by faith. The Bible said here, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love Him. Anybody here seen Him? Not me. Have you seen Him? Do you love Him? Amen. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The Word of God over here in the book of Thessalonians, while we wait, we've talked about 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, God's people while we wait, God's peace, God's person, praying to God while we wait. We talked about the power of God while we wait. Look in verse number 3. There's the patience of hope while we wait. We need patience. He's coming. I wonder, Brother Houston, how many of those people down in Florida and over in Houston, maybe a day went by, then 2 days went by, then they wondered, will anybody come? Brother Brian told us, standing in this pulpit in Sunday school, watching them snatch people off of the roofs, haul them up into a helicopter, put them in that basket. Only Brother Brian can tell stories like Brother Brian tells stories. Amen. But I wonder, Brother Ralph, the relief. Dad's got his little baby, got his wife, and the water's done come up to the gutter on his roof. I wonder what kind of relief, Brother Houston, when he hears something. I can't make a noise of a helicopter, but he hears. All of a sudden, there's a light that stops right on their rooftop. And they understand that they got their attention. I want to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. The devil wants you and I to think we don't have his attention. But he's never taken his eyes off of the bride, and he never will. And honey, it might look like we're going to drown in this thing before it's over with. I'm not talking about a flood. I'm not talking about water. I'm talking about the iniquity that's in this world. But just in time, we'll hear the propeller. And our Lord will say, it's enough, youngins. Come on home. I don't know about you. I like what John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. There's so much more. Let me just give you a little bit right here quickly. We'll quit. He said, you become followers of us, verse number 6. The Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost, I wrote the word perseverance right over that. Honey, that used to be a doctrine that was talked about a whole lot more. Perseverance. What's that mean? That means it ain't all going to be easy, but keep going on anyway. Amen. Tomorrow, Miss Eve and I
be married 38 years. You tell Brother Arnold, if I find out he's responsible for sabotaging that anniversary list, he's got problems. Brother Brian was here. He said, God, he said, these are put in here for the husbands, not for the wives. I'm waiting on my anniversary in September. Remember he talked about it was the month of the stars. Don't you remember? Remember that? And I never did hear it. I asked Brother Brian at church. I said, was my name on that list? You just went by. He said, nope, it wasn't on that list. See what you can do, Sister Kathy, about getting my name back on that list. I'm going to tell you this. We've not been married 38 years without enduring some things, without persevering through some things. Somebody help me tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. This generation doesn't know a whole lot about persevering. They go down there and get them a job, and if everything don't work out just the way that I quit. Am I right or am I wrong? They get married, and if everything don't go just right, I quit. I'm going to say this. A whole lot of people go to church until everything ain't going just right, and then they quit. I believe the Bible teaches perseverance. It's time to dig in. Jesus is coming. And I believe God's people ought to dig in. Don't you even have any thought about putting your stamp of approval on what God said is an abomination. I make that statement, the first thing everybody thinks about is homosexuality. Honey, that ain't the only thing listed under abomination. These six things that the Lord God hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. The first one was a proud look. The last one was he that soweth discord among the brethren. I said homosexuality ain't the only thing that God said is an abomination. We shouldn't put our approval on any of it. If God disapproves of it, you and I ought to disapprove of it. Perseverance. A couple things real quickly. From you sounded out the word of the Lord in Macedonia and Achaia. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this. It's 8:10. But I wrote down the word preparation in the margin of my Bible. You say, preacher, what do you mean preparation? The word of God talked about when it's talking about the whole armor of God, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I believe these people, Brother Rose, even though they were young, if you've studied Jesus, that Samaritan woman went back to town, not the next day, the day. The day she got saved, Brother Larry, she went back to town and told the men, come, see a man that told me all things. Ever that I've done, is not this to Christ. And the Bible said many believed on him for the saying of the woman. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this. We're without excuse. We've got Bibles. We've got gospel tracts. We've got opportunity after opportunity. Hey, thank God we're not in China. We have liberty. We have freedom to share the gospel. We're without excuse. The preparation. He said this, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, Macedonia, Achaia, every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad. These are the people that turn to God from idols. That's the whole purpose while we wait on God. That's the whole purpose of being left here, is so somebody else will turn to God from idols to serve the true and the living God. How many's glad you have a purpose to live tonight? You have a reason to live. I believe a lot of people are ending their life day after day after day after day. A lot of our veterans, Brother Wayne, are taking their life because they come to a place where they have no reason to live. But if you're saved tonight, you have a purpose.
While we wait, you have a purpose. I noticed this. I believe Scofield mentioned it. If you look at verse number 3, you see a work of faith. If you go over to verse number 9, that's how they turn to God from idols. In verse number 3, you see a labor of love. If you look at verse number 9, they serve the living and the true God. If in verse number 3, you see the patience of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at verse number 10, it says, and to wait for His Son from heaven. See how they coincide one with another? Whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us. Now wait a minute. Listen to me carefully right here. I know the difference between saying who delivered us and who will deliver us. How many knows the difference? It said right there, who delivered us from the wrath that is to come. That's why I like the song Brother Anthony sings. He's back here tonight. Brother Anthony, sing it every time God puts it on your heart. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. There is a place somewhere below I've heard and read about. This little line, I'm not fussing tonight, but it's not so much what they say that people when they go. It might be good, Brother Andy, if you just think about it, pray about it. You might say, God said that people, when they go, will never come back out. How many got what I just said? Amen. It don't matter what they say, but God said that people, when they go, will never come back out. A place of torment for lost souls who turn the Lord away. Beloved, I'm glad I'm not going to that place. You say, preacher, what'd you put down there for the last word? The promise. While I wait tonight, I have a promise. I have a promise that He's coming, and I have a promise that I'm going. I like that. You say, preacher, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm done. You believe in God? How many believes in God? Jesus said, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, boys, I'm just paraphrasing. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. That where I am. No, let's see. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. I believe that's where we're fixing to go, where Jesus is. The Camies years ago, they sang a song. The title of the song was That's Reason Enough. It had a line in it, Miss Donna said, if heaven had no splendor for these eyes to see. Bobby, if mom and dad weren't there, and if I had no loved ones, they're waiting for me. Still, I would have a longing, and I'd still want to go, because Jesus is there, and that's all I need to know. I believe that'll get it done. While we wait, He promised. How many's ever had a youngin'? You said, son, we'll do this. That day came and there was 10,000 other things pressing. Son, we'll do that another day. And he looks up at you. You haven't lived just yet, probably, Brother John, but you will. And he says, but Dad, you promised. Have he ever been there? But Mom, you promised. You know how I know it's going to be all right? I know the one that promised. And all the promises of God in Him are yea. I didn't mean to say all that tonight, but I said it and I ain't taking it back. My Lord's been good to this old boy. He's coming, Brother Wade. lot of people ain't going to believe, Brother Wayne, how many's coming out of them bars when he comes. They think they're all heathen, and there's some heathen in there. But they ain't all heathen. God's got some youngins behind them bars. God's got some heathen on the street in Kingsport, too. He might even have some heathen in a church in Kingsport. God knows who the heathen are. God knows who his children are. How many's glad you come tonight? I appreciate you coming. I appreciate this. He's coming. While you wait. While you wait. While you wait.